From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show. It is 11 o'clock in Arizona, 2 o'clock on the East Coast. And this is the Boomer and the Babe Show, coming to you live on Thursday, September 6th, 2012, from our studios in Sun City, Arizona. And I want to invite everybody to, and thank everybody, first of all, for finding us at our new time. And please pass it along to anybody else you might know that listens to the show that we are indeed on at 11 o'clock now with the Boomer and the Babe Show. Our 9 o'clock show is a new show as well, and that is Arizona Boomer Radio Show, and we're on every day, Monday through Friday, at 9 o'clock in Arizona with content generated primarily just for Arizona. This content on the Boomer the Babe Show is generated for anybody listening anywhere throughout the United States or the world for that matter. We invite you to go to boomerthebabe.com, see everything we're involved in. Please sign up for our online magazine, Boomer Experience Speaks, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy that. You'll get that free in your inbox just about every month. Every month to 6 weeks, we put out a new edition of Boomer Experience Speaks. We have a very special guest today. His name is Jay Whitehead. He is the CEO of a company called Tickets for Charity. And I was talking to him a little before we came on air, and it's a very interesting proposition that he's got going here, and it sounds like he's just doing wonderful things. Welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show, Jay Whitehead.
Great to be talking to all those boomers and babes.
There you go. Very good. Well, the babe is not here. The babe of the show is not here today. She's off doing some things with some of her other clients, but sometimes she gets here and sometimes she doesn't. It's kind of hot luck anymore with her. She's so busy in her aspect of what she does in the business. So, but anyway.
But there are babes listening, though, right?
Well, I certainly hope so. Absolutely.
Okay. Fair enough.
There you go. Well, Jay, what I'd like to do to get us kind of rolling and kick things off is ask you for, if the babe were here, if Deborah were here, she would ask you for your two-minute movie, that being 2 minutes about what you did prior to becoming involved with Tickets for Charity, kind of like your life history, a little movie, a picture of yourself, not necessarily the one on the post office wall, but, you know.
Fair enough. Well, imagine three rivers coming together. One river is high technology businesses that do a lot of transaction processing. I imagine a payroll company. I did a lot of those. I started a lot of those. And then the second is media. I was in the media business for a number of years. Magazines, newspapers, conferences, online properties, and some TV mostly. And then the third is social ventures. Think of ventures that benefits society. Biggest example would be Corporate Responsibility Magazine, which published the 100 Best Corporate Citizens list, which we ultimately joint ventured with the New York Stock Exchange. It was a way of keeping sort of corporations credible and transparent. So those three rivers come together here at Tickets for Charity, where we sell tickets online. And part of the proceeds go to benefit charity. And we're really a media brand. We've got a big subscriber list, almost a million by Christmas of this year. And then we're also a social venture because we benefit charity. So the three rivers of my career experience come together here at Tickets for Charity. I went to college like a lot of people. I went to the UCLA and a long time at the Harvard Business School.
Now, how long ago did you get involved with Tickets for Charity?
Now, Tickets for Charity is a six-year-old company founded by a guy named George Poster, who was one of the guys who started Priceline.com, that name-your-own price company.
Yes.
George's idea was to turn buying into giving, so create a marketplace for charitable sale. In this case, of tickets. And so he founded this. Now, unfortunately, George contracted terminal non-smoker's cancer about September of last year, and he passed away just recently. I took over for him 122 days ago, and since then we've been able to put together some remarkable things. And so now Tickets for Charity is a rip-roaring business, and you'll see us nationwide in virtually every market by Christmas, and for every type of sport, every type of music venue, and every type of theater venue across the country.
Well, let me kind of get a little more into the weeds right there. As an example, we have, I guess we have 2.5 sports teams, 3.5 sports teams here. We're not sure.
Right.
Not sure about our hockey team yet, whether they're going to stay or not. But nonetheless, we have golf events here, and in Tucson, we have sports. The major sports, basketball, football, hockey, and baseball. And we have concerts at any number of venues around the Phoenix area. Now, do you handle the possibility for tickets for those venues here in Arizona or Phoenix? And if so, do you specialize in every city you go to? Do you make sure that you're just in their advertising marketing for just the events in that city, or do you do everything on a national basis all across the board anyhow?
Well, we're doing national events now, but you'll see an expansion, a rapid expansion of that starting in Christmas, where the inventory on the site will be much more broad, much more vast. So, for example, you go to ticketsforcharity.com, you look at the sports inventory, you can see Arizona Cardinals, you'll see basketball during basketball season, you see hockey during hockey season. Those tickets are sourced primarily from corporations. You know, almost half of many corporations' sponsored tickets do not get used. They go into the shredder each year. So the feedstock, the tickets that you see on ticketsforcharity.com are mostly corporate tickets. Some are sourced direct from artists or sourced direct from the teams, but most of them come from the corporations. So the corporations, of course, are sponsors of the Cardinals. They're sponsors of the Suns. They're sponsors of the Coyotes, if the Coyotes stay. And they're also sponsors of golf tournaments, for example. They're sponsors of tennis tournaments. They're sponsors of concerts. And so those tickets go into Tickets for Charity, and you can buy them at face value, sometimes below face value, sometimes a little bit above, depending on how high demand the ticket is. And a portion of the proceeds go to charity. So if you're somebody looking for a great seat for an event to take your date out, you not only are going to be able to get great seats, but you'll be able to show a receipt that shows that a portion of the proceeds went to charity. So I joke sometimes that I should, your dates really think this is cool, because not only is it a great seat, but it's also, a responsible seat. You don't have to feel so guilty about paying high prices for tickets because part of it goes to charity. And I've heard that people call the site, the tickets they get from here, that we shouldn't call it Tickets for Charity. It should be Tickets to Luckyville. It's an opportunity to get added romantic value out of that date night out.
Unbelievable. Very interesting. Is virtually any event or venue that you don't or can't get tickets for? I mean, can you get tickets to just about anything?
Just about anything that a corporation would sponsor or buy a ticket to.
Okay.
So you're not going to get many circus tickets, for example. You're not going to get, sort of the exotic offbeats, sort of art form that a corporation would not sponsor. But anything that's in a major arena, stadium, venue that a corporation would sponsor, that's what you're really going to see here. Some of the artists that support Tickets for Charity and give a significant chunk of tickets to to the site include people like James Taylor, Katy Perry, U2, Rolling Stones. You'll see major concert acts on the site, and those are mostly high-demand tickets. These are first 10-row tickets. These are Mac Daddy seats, and those will go for a little bit over face value, but anything over face value of those Mac Daddy direct-sourced seats goes directly to charity.
So is there a percentage, basically, that you work on as far as what goes to charity? A ticket costs $100. Is there a percentage that you always try to give minimally to charity?
It varies. That's a great question because it varies. Some of the seats that the corporations give us are completely donated. So 100% of the net proceeds would go to charity. It's a smaller percentage, 10, 15, 20%. It will vary by ticket, but each ticket has what's called a bifurcated receipt that goes with it. So you get a receipt that shows exactly how much of your ticket price went to charity, and that goes to your accountant for your tax return every year. And we've got a patent on that stupid process. Can you imagine a patent on a receipt? It's just the dumbest world. World we live in. But it's true that it's a patented process, a bifurcated receipt, where your credit card gets hit twice, once for the portion that goes to the team or the tour or the arena or the corporate owner of the ticket, and another portion that goes to charity. And those two types of money, the charitable contribution of and the face value of the ticket, they go to two different bank accounts, and they are then paid to two different parties, and you get a receipt showing exactly how that happens, so your accountant can give you a tax deduction. It's a little ticket trick.
Sure. Now, does the organization, the corporation, the group, do they specify a charity that they want their revenues that are generated by the tickets they donated? Do they designate a charity that they want the money to go to?
Yeah, good question. Many of them do. Many of them do have a pet charity that they support. We support right now 111 different charities. So there's virtually no charity that a corporation supports that we don't already have a partnership with. But we try not to have any more than about a quarter of the corporate designated charity get that donation. We tend to like to concentrate it across our entire portfolio of charitable partners, because those charitable partners they reach out to their supporter bases, with many millions of people, and drive them to the site to help them source the tickets. So the charities are very important because they actually provide buyers for the tickets by driving them to the site, saying, "Hey, if you go to the site, buy a ticket at Tickets for Charity." Part of the money comes to us at the National Resources Defense Council or Feeding America or whatever the charitable mission is.
How does Tickets for Charity make money? How do you get paid?
We make money the same way Ticketmaster does. We charge a small service charge on top of each ticket. And that's our net revenue. So just a small service charge, just like you pay for Ticketmaster or StubHub or any of those. And that's the only part that we take. We actually don't take a part of the charitable contribution. That goes all for charity, except for the part that we send to the credit card company for the processing of the credit card charge. All the rest of it goes to the charity.
Wow. Now you mentioned Ticketmaster and StubHub.
Yep.
Other than the charitable aspect of what you're doing, is there any negligible difference between what you do and what those other two organizations do?
Yes, the big difference. Other than the charitable portion, the big difference is our inventory is different. The tickets you see on Tickets for Charity are these premium corporate seats that you will not see anywhere else, and directly sourced seats from artists and teams. These are first 10 row, right up front, Mac Daddy seats. So it's really an inventory difference, high quality inventory that you won't see anywhere else, and the charitable contribution. Those are the two unique features. features of ticketsforcharity.com.
How is it that the gentleman you said that was the founder, he just recently passed?
Yeah.
How was it? He was also the founder of Priceline.
Yeah.
Is that correct? How was it that he came up with this plan, and how did he implement that plan? Do you know?
Yes, I do. His name was George Poster. George always had this idea. He was a big donor to a number of charities, but he also had this nagging feeling that when he gives a dollar, it's like giving somebody a fish. He would rather create a fishery that would actually perpetually generate donations to charity. And so creating this charitable sale engine where we could sell a product or a service, in this case it's tickets, that would perpetually earn charities donations, that was his vision, turn buying into giving. And that was the big picture. The devil's in the details in that business, so it's up to us to actually knit together all those details, come up with, be able to source over 2 million tickets in 2013, put together a membership roster of over 1 million by January of 2013, 3 million by Christmas 2013, and so those details are left up to us, and that's what we're doing right now, but his vision is still in place, turn buying into giving and create this, the world's largest charitable sale engine. And our parent company is actually called Charity Partners. So Tickets for Charity is our first operating company. And it is possible that you will see in the future and somewhere down the road, other things for charity that would be part of this charitable sale engine. For example, you could imagine fashion for charity. You can imagine other things for charity. I don't know whether there will ever be a plumbing supplies for charity, but it's possible.
Exactly. Can a local charity in a local market, i.e. Phoenix, Arizona, be on your rolls as a charity recipient of funds?
It's possible, yes. We tier the charities on the website that could benefit. And we tier them much like, baseball would. So there's a major league charities, the big ones who are able to contribute millions of hits of traffic to the website, and those get the larger donation. Then there's the AAA, the AA, the single A, and the farm team. Usually the local charities are in the single A and farm team scale because they'll get $5,000 to $10,000 a year, as opposed to $1 million a year. So some of our bigger charities, for example, Special Olympics World Games 2015, which is the Special Olympics, we're raising $10 million for that charity. They're what we call a major league charity, Special Olympics. So, and then it goes all the way down to local charities. For example, we have a couple of local charities that do quite well with us. For example, the Boston Red Sox Foundation, which is in the Boston area, they got about $250,000 in the past year from us. So they're
wow.
But they would be considered a local charity.
Well, I mean, there are some small local charities, and the reason I'm asking you, obviously, there's one that I'm very involved with. It's a local food bank, and you mentioned $5,000 to $10,000. If there was a way that they could see an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a year, they would be absolutely overjoyed. They do absolutely wonderful work. So $5,000 to $10,000 for a local charity that's very, very much cash strapped, that takes no money from federal government, local government, nobody else, anybody else. It's all based on donations. Everything they do is based on donations. It's a chunk of change. It pays for a lot of diesel in those big trucks they drive around.
It does. It does. And really, all these charities have to do to help get themselves revenues from Tickets for Charity is to drive traffic to the site, drive those donors to the site. We do that with banners on the charity site. We do that with emailings from the charity. We do a lot of different marketing techniques to get people who sponsor and support these local charities to do what they usually do. They're buying tickets anyway, buy tickets anyway, and they can designate the charity, their local charity, on the site if it's one of those on the that's on the approved list. Or if you go to the charity's site and they have a link back to Tickets for Charity, then we will know that that ticket buyer came from that local charity's site, and we will automatically donate money to that charity from that ticket. So there are a couple of ways to make sure that your pet charity gets the donation from your ticket, and one of them is to go to the charity site and link over from Tickets for Charity. The other is to see if it's part of the drop-down menu when you check out of those charities you can choose to donate to.
So if a person buys four tickets to the Arizona Cardinals game, and they come through Tickets for Charity, can that person designate that they want them to go to ABC Charity here in Phoenix? If they're on your list.
If they're on the list, absolutely. Absolutely. So if it's the Feeding America or Wounded Warrior Project or Special Olympics or one of those is one of your pet charities, and chances are about that they are, then absolutely you can designate and help direct the proceeds from your ticket sale to that charity.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's complicated. Imagine behind the scenes, it's really complicated to not only make sure that the charitable contribution gets to the right place, but that we got to move the tickets from place to place. And many of these tickets are still physical tickets. We are still living in the era of physical tickets. Some tickets are digital, and they just operate via a barcode, but some are still physical, so we have to move those little buggers. We have to actually put them in a FedEx pouch and send them to you.
And there's an expense for that, too.
Yeah, there's a little cost, yeah.
Yeah, so now when somebody actually makes their contribution, be it corporation or a musical group or whatever the case might be, now they imagine they get some kind of a write-off for that too, correct?
That's correct. If the corporation, Dial Corporation in Phoenix, contributes a block of tickets, they donate them, they immediately get a write-off for the entire portion of the donation, the fair market value of that donation. There's another option if they allocate them, meaning that they want a portion of the face value back. If we sell it, 20% or something goes back to the corporation, then they get a deduction for the portion that does not represent cash going back to them. So we process all that for them as well. So
when you have a donation, let's say the face value on the ticket is $100. I don't care what it's true, but it's
right.
$100. And the donating entity wants to have 20% back. So now we've got $80 left of that ticket. And the charity portion of that comes from the $80. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the charity would get $80 less whatever the credit card charge is. If there's a credit card, usually they charge a percent or two to process the credit card fee. And so less that, all that goes to the charity. Then there'll be a small service charge on top of that for our service, and voila.
Wow.
It's Ticket to Luckyville.
Ticket to Luckyville, there you go. I don't need to get lucky anymore, but if it was available when I was looking for some luck.
Well, you can always dream.
Yeah, well, that's always that. Now, when somebody buys one of these tickets and they can, they specify that they wanted to go to ABC Charity, small charity here, small food bank as an example here in the Phoenix area, then how can they be assured that funding is going to go to that food bank?
Well, all the money that gets that goes from your transactions into Tickets for Charity for the charities gets sequestered in a separate bank account, and it's accounted for separately, and then we fund on a quarterly basis, and then we provide the charities that get the target donations a We give them a check, and we give them an accounting of every one of those donations and some level of identification of who contributed. So in some cases it's an email address, some cases it's just a name. So the charities will know that they got money from John Smith in Phoenix, Arizona, as a part of a Tickets for Charity transaction.
Now the charity itself, when they get this this information, they can or may not, or will they be able to issue some sort of a thank you to that person for your donation?
They can indeed, and often they do. In fact, if you put an email address into your transaction record for Tickets for Charity, then that email address is supplied to the target charities, and they have the option to give you a thank you letter. Probably about 75% of them do. You get a thank you email from Tickets for Charity as part of your bifurcated receipt, which is a receipt again that you can take to your accountant for your tax returns every year because it has a tax deductible portion on it, and that often has a thank you message from the charities on it as well.
It behooves the charity, whoever it is, to work their list and hopefully develop a larger list and have eventually, if they don't already, have a huge list so they can promote the activity.
Some of them do, yeah. Some of them, it's amazing how large and broad some of these charities' lists are. You know, there are several of our major league charities that have email lists in the tens of millions.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, you look at somebody like Special Olympics, which serves Olympic, Special Olympic athletes, disabled athletes in 65 countries. They'll have 25, 30 million email addresses. So they've got a very robust list.
Well, I'm certainly glad to know that Special Olympics is on there. I have a niece that is a Special Olympian, and she just thoroughly enjoys her Special Olympics activities. It's nice to know that some of these funds are going to that as well.
Oh, sure. And if you look at think in terms of charities, the top two sports-related charities in the United States are Boys and Girls Club and Special Olympics. Special Olympics, obviously, the obvious sports alliance there is very clear. But the Special Olympics, our specific portion of Special Olympics is to benefit that $10 million is to benefit the Special Olympics World Games. You know, it's their Olympics every 4 years. They have Olympics just like the regular Olympics, so the Paralympics, and for the first time in 16 years, it returns to the United States in 2015, and that's the fund toward which the funds go from Tickets for Charity, and there'll be almost 95,000 Olympic athletes participating in those games.
That's
mind-boggling.
That's an amazing number, isn't it?
It is. It is huge.
Okay,
the opening ceremonies are not to be missed.
I would imagine not. When somebody decides that they're going to avail themselves of Tickets for Charity to buy tickets to various events, you mentioned earlier that there's really not too much stuff that you don't have access to. But how about, and I've asked you this off air, I don't think we've touched on this on air, but I'm thinking, wow, I've always wanted to go to the Masters golf tournament. Do you have some of those?
We have Masters tickets. It's a hot ticket. It's a tough ticket to get to. And if you've ever been to Augusta, you realize that it's not trivial to get to Augusta, just to actually physically get your body there because it's a haul out to Augusta. It's not like just flying into it. Atlanta Airport. You've got to get out there. But it is a special event, and you'll see most of those Masters tickets will sell for a little bit above face value, not too much above face value. But they're tickets that are owned by corporations that have sponsorships, and we'll have some Masters tickets from time to time in the weeks leading up to the event. We typically will get those corporate tickets, we'll get them about 21 days or maybe a little bit longer in advance of an event. You know, you can't don't be shopping at Christmas for something that's for an event that's next September, because the inventory won't be there. But you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in advance of the event, that's the time that you're going to find great opportunities, great deals on ticketsforcharity.com.
So the bigger the event, the more popular the event, the tougher the ticket is to get, just normally speaking. I mean, that all the toughness of attaining a ticket also applies to Tickets for Charity as well. I mean, it's tough for anybody to get a ticket anywhere.
That's correct.
But you
I will say that in recent years, the number one enemy of those selling tickets and selling seats to even to high demand events like the Masters is the flat screen TV. It is now much more convenient, much more cost effective, and sometimes much more enjoyable for you just to watch the thing on TV.
Right.
So you know, it's gotten harder to sell tickets in recent years, and that's why a number of teams and artists are really are embracing Tickets for Charity, because we make it just a little bit easier, just a little bit better, just a little bit more fun, and maybe that tips the balance against opting out and watching it on your flat screen TV.
Well, you know, I mean, there's that, even at that, you know, would I want to go to the Masters and trek up and down those hills? Because
yep.
I know there's hills there,
yep.
Although you don't always see it on your television.
That's right.
And trek up and down those hills following somebody, or flopping myself down somewhere and waiting for the whole field to come through, then moving on again. Or would I rather watch it on TV is a consideration. There's no doubt. The other thing is, you may only get the chance once. You know, it may
right.
be well worth the while to take the chance, go trek up and down the hills or not, find yourself whatever the heck it is, apple blossom or cherry blossom tree or whatever the heck it is that you sit under in Augusta National, and watch players come through. I mean, that might be the way to go. I mean, just so you can say you've done it, and it's something that's taken off your bucket list.
That's right.
Now, if these are corporate tickets, are these general seating tickets, or are these corporate tickets in their skybox?
Yeah, some are suites. We got some suites, but almost none of them are general admission tickets. These are corporate tickets that corporations pay, you know, good money for, and so they're high demand tickets with real seats and in a real row that are premium. So these are all premium tickets.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're preferred seating. Because
yeah, you're not getting the throw your blanket out in the outfield kind of seating. No.
Yeah, I understand, and of course the reason for that is that they would, if they weren't using them for and giving them for this purpose, they would be taking clients. So,
and for
yeah,
exactly.
So that's what that's all about. I'm intrigued now. Do you have anything with one of the things that was on my list that I wanted to do that I was not about to pay for, but I went. When it was offered to me from my daughter and son-in-law, and Deborah and I went up to Pebble Beach, and I played Pebble Beach with my daughter. And do you have tickets that or tee times at Pebble Beach? Do you do anything with tee times for well-known golf courses?
We don't do tee times yet. No, that's a potential line extension. We don't do tee times for golf courses. You will see in 2013, you will see us opening up into NCAA venues. So you'll see BCS football, you'll see Final Four basketball, you'll see for men's and for women's in basketball, you'll see volleyball, you'll see some of the high demand NCAA tickets, but you won't see tee times yet.
Wow, that's this is. I mean, I when I when I was looking at what you do and so on, I'm thinking, well, this is really cool. And now talking to you, it's obvious that there are so many more things you can still do beyond what you're currently doing.
Sure, sure. You can extend, and you know, you'll see ticketsforcharity.com in Europe. You'll see ticketsforcharity.com in NCAA. You'll see it in a number of other areas where you'll find hard to find tickets. It's not inconceivable that we do tee times with golf courses, but there's a specific level of complexity with golf tee times that are that's unique. It's unique to the golf marketplace. So I would say that's an unlikely line extension. But if you think about it, I don't know if any of your listeners have ever been to, you know, Premier League soccer in England, or the Ligue 1 in France, or the La Liga in Italy. Those tickets are very hard to come by, and they are also extremely extremely limited to people who have season tickets. So and corporate sponsors. And there are very few open markets for folks to buy those tickets. So you'll see availability of tickets for charity in those European marketplaces at one point.
I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm saying, well, you know, there could be cruise tickets available.
Could be.
I don't know what the status is of the cruise industry. I'm not a cruiser, but
Tough. The cruise industry is in hell right now. After they dumped that one off the coast of Italy, it was not a good day for cruise industry salespeople.
Yeah, and the enthusiasm, I'm sure, has waned to some level regard to people wanting.
Correct.
To And then you hear about the people getting sick and all that other kind of stuff, too. So forget it. I'll drive my car.
That's right.
This is just very intriguing to me, the way you have this whole thing organized and what the growth potential still is. And I'm wondering, what do you see as the long-term objective and the long – I mean, do you have a dollar value that you're trying to pin on it and say, well, we hope to this year raise $27 million for charity? I mean, what are you looking at?
Yeah, you'll see 2013 total will be in the $25 million range for charity donations raised. In 2014, you'll see that multiply by about 2.5. And by 2015, we'll be in the $100 million a year range for raising of donations for our target charity. So you'll see the volume go up as the volume of tickets available on the site goes up, and it's really a factor of inventory. So it's a supply and demand business, right? The supply is the number of tickets we have on the website. That'll be 2 million in 2013. It'll be about 3.5 million in 2014. It'll be about 5.5 million in 2015. And you'll see a major, you know, somewhere between 25 and 50% of those tickets actually sold on the site. And so you just have to start doing the math about how much, what sort of level of charitable contributions get raised as a result of those transactions.
In some of these instances, if you need to travel to get to the event of your dreams, let's say it's the Masters. I'm sitting over here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I start shopping around. I start shopping around for Masters tickets. I go to Tickets for Charity, and you say it's 3 weeks out, quite possibly before these tickets are released. I've got to be able to react pretty quickly, don't I?
That's correct. It's a supply and demand business, so. If there's inventory available on the site, just like at any box office, if it's a ticket that you want and you really want it, you have the means with which to pay for it and you can get there, you'd want to act at that time, because tickets are one of those things that are there's only one of a kind. There's only one row 10 seat 4 ticket for that event. So you got to get it now. If you can afford it, if you want it, get it now.
And arrange your travel and get your car and the whole nine yards and get yourself out there. I mean, 'cause
that's right. 90% of those, speaking of that, though, 90% of tickets are bought for a venue are bought by people who live within 40 miles of that event.
Really?
So, yeah. So the ticketing and events and the selling of tickets is really very much a local business.
I'll be darned. So it's most likely then that if somebody buys an Arizona ticket, they're going to be an Arizona resident, and they're going to be able to get there relatively easily.
That's right. Unless it's a Super Bowl or a BCS championship or something like that, then people will travel. But it really is a local business, and the same thing goes for music. I mean, if Katy Perry is in Seattle, chances are 90% of the people who are going to see Katy Perry in Seattle come from the Seattle area. Very few people will travel from outside.
Right. But if I wanted to go as an example, do you have accessibility there as we're speaking to any kind of ticket prices that you can indicate if I just throw something out at you that you could...
Well,
you could...
Fire away. Let's see what I can do.
San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Chargers.
I don't even know what the schedule is, but some San Diego Charger game somewhere over there.
San Diego Charger game. Early in the season is cheaper than later in the season.
Okay.
So the first couple games of the season, you see ticket prices 20% lower online ticket prices, secondary market ticket prices. You'll see them 20% lower than later in the season if they're in a playoff race. If they're not in a playoff race, the ticket prices go down. You want a ticketing price trivia? Here's a ticketing price trivia for you. Okay, imagine you're at a concert. You're in row 10. Row 10 is what they call the bellwether row. And because in row 10, the aisle seats typically sell for three times the center seat in that same row. Three times. So the center seat sells for one-third less than the aisle seat. Why? Because people don't like to brush past other fans to get to the center of the aisle. So if you're a concert promoter and your concert is doing well, your center seat in aisle 10, in row 10, will sell for more than a third of the price of the – or rather, your center seat in row 10 will sell for more than a third of your aisle seat. That's if your concert's doing well. If your concert's doing badly, you'll know – because the center seat in row 10 sells for less than a third of the aisle seat in the same row. And so that is when you know that your concert sucks, and you better either increase your advertising or cancel the next couple concerts.
Amazing. And, yep. and it is row 10 the magical
The 10th row in the concert business in arenas, row 10 is the magical row. Each in sports, it's a little bit different because each stadium is a little bit different. But each one of those stadiums knows where their bellwether row is, where the bellwether seat is.
Their indicator yep. location.
Every one of them knows it. Every one of them knows it. They try and keep it a secret, but if you're in the ticket business, you know where that is.
So when I worked my deal 1 year ago, I used to be in the catering business, and I worked my deal with the San Diego Chargers were one of my clients, was my primary client. And I did the pregame, the halftime entertainers, I did their pregame meal, such as it was. And it was generally hot dogs or hamburgers or something on my big grill. And then one of my arrangement with them was that they would pay me X number of dollars, and that would be enough money that they would pay me that would cover four season tickets in the stadium, so I could go to every game and take a couple of clients or friends, whatever I wanted to do.
Sweet.
It was sweet because they were good seats, just under the overhang, didn't get the sun. If it was bad weather, I was covered, and I didn't have to look at the scoreboards to see things. I don't think I had maybe one corner of the end zone on the other side closest to me was a blind spot, but they didn't get down there that often anyhow. That's interesting because they obviously knew where that tickets were and those seats were, and they knew what the value of them was, and I think I got a pretty good deal on that thing.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just for going out and cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. Now, any kind of does a corporation, let's assume for a minute that a corporation wants to have a whole passel of tickets. Can they come to you and buy them, or can they go? Are they more likely they're going to get what they want by going directly to the club and buying them?
Well, chances are not all that high that they'll get them from the they'll get individual game or individual event tickets from the club or the team or the arena. They'll have to go into the secondary market, and we'll often have a case where Corporation X doesn't have the ticket that they want. They have to buy it from Corporation Y, and they buy it through Tickets for Charity.
Well, when I think I misquoted the question. Let's say that I have a company. What should I do? And I want to have a bunch of people, clients that I want to take to a football game, and
right.
I need to have 20 tickets to the Los Angeles Rams and the Cardinals game, and I want to have 20 tickets to that ball game. Is it possible that I can get a good selection of 20 tickets from you for that game, or is the number slightly less?
It's often possible. It's often possible. You'll see significant volumes of tickets available for certain types of events on the site. The larger the group, the lower likelihood they'll all be together.
Right.
But sure, you'll see some volumes for some games, especially baseball, 162 games, 81 home games for each team. That's multiply that times some of these stadiums are 40,000 seats. That's a lot of seats.
Yes.
So baseball has the biggest attendance challenge in terms of filling seats. Hockey is right up there as well with Not 81 home games, but 42 home games. NBA, similar situation, and then football has fewer games with a 16 game season plus some preseason games. You just have fewer games, so that's why they fill the stadiums more often in National Football League than they do in other sports. But there are teams and venues that still have the blackout law, the TV blackout law in place, where if they don't sell out the game, they're not allowed to broadcast the TV, and they, as a result, they don't get the TV revenues from that game. So you'll have owners of teams who will be dumping thousands of tickets on the market in the days before the game in order to officially be able to call the game sold out so that they get that TV revenue, which is a big check.
Right.
So Atlanta Falcons are the ones with the biggest problem in that category. Why? Because they have a team that has not done all that well in recent years, and they've got a gigantic stadium that also has. And to get to the Atlanta Stadium, if you've ever been to the Atlanta Stadium, you'll know that traffic is a nightmare. So,
it's interesting. This whole ticketing thing, seats, number of seats, and so on and so forth, this has come down to a real science, hasn't it? I mean, when they say they're going to build a new football, they need to have a stadium that is strictly for football, and it has to have 65,000 seats or whatever their number is.
There's a reason.
They know that 65,000 or 75,000 or whatever it is seats is exactly the optimum number, but also the most likely number that they're going to be able to fill on a week-to-week basis in that city with that team.
Here's a statistic to back that up. 1990, 20% of pro sports revenues came from suites, those corporate suites, the big suites upstairs.
Yes.
In 2011, 50%. Up from 50% of revenue came from the suites. Why? Because the suites are much more expensive, and they represent a premium experience. So, and also during that same period of time, from 1990 to 2011, the revenue per seat average in all pro sports went up by 340%. So they've really figured out how to maximize that revenue. Also, you got to think about filling. If you're a team owner, can you give away a ticket to a venue? It actually might be to your advantage. Why? Because oftentimes 60 to 70, sometimes even 100% of the ticket price worth of concessions is how much people spend when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you got a free seat, people are still buying dogs and beers, and the markup on those dogs and beers is very high.
Oh, believe me, having been a caterer, I know what the markup is on food when you're cooking and serving it to somebody, and that's what made me go into the catering business.
That's right.
I mean, I catered for the San Diego Chargers. I was what they called at one time their entertainment caterer. And I would do the thing for the entertainers, hence the name entertainment caterer. And then, but in part of the package also is I would be the recommended caterer for people that wanted to have tailgates when these corporations would call in, or I'll never forget the Packer backers. They called
right.
in, and the Packer backers called in and said that they wanted to come down when the Packers were coming down to take apart my San Diego Chargers, and they said, well. They said, well, call Pete. And so they called me. And this guy, I said, how many people have you got? And the guy says, well, he says, I'm probably going to have about 1,000 people. And I'm going, oh, okay. I says, what would you like to have on your menu? Now, he didn't say bratwurst, which I just don't understand that. But he said, jumbo dogs, hamburgers, potato salad, coleslaw. I don't know what else it was, potato salad, coleslaw, and some other kind of a salad thing. Cookies, beer. And I don't know what else. He wanted a band. He wanted a DJ. And can I do that for a budget of $65 a head?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, let me put a pencil to this and get back to you. And I'll call you back within several hours when I've had a chance to figure it all out and call some of my people. So I put down the phone. I hung up and I said to Deborah, I said, we have just hit the mother load.
No kidding.
One event that had to be started by 9 o'clock in the morning and done by 12 because it was in the auxiliary parking lot at $65 a head. Well, I saved him money. I came in at $64.32, and he was just overjoyed. Well, I cleared a whole bunch of money. I paid off a lot of bills. We took a long weekend in Las Vegas. In a rented car, and $1,000 to spend, and $200 for my daughter to spend, and $500 for Deborah to gamble with. And we went to Las Vegas and said, wow, isn't this sweet? How many more of these can we do? Unfortunately, we only did one more. It was for Chicago, and it was for half as many people, but the price was still the same, and it was just as good.
And right, so, right.
But
catering for charity is also always possible.
Well, if I had the energy anymore, I'd say let's talk about doing it here in Arizona.
That's great. Hey, I just got a notification from my secretary here that one of the owners of our local sports teams here in Boston is coming up to my office in just 2 minutes. So,
I
just wanted to give you an alarm.
Well, that's fine because we're right down here to the short rows, and I want to thank you for being a guest today, Jay. I want to get in touch with you, reach out to you here, if not later this week, which has only got one day left, maybe next week, and we'll talk about maybe you doing a little article for our Boomer Experience Speaks online magazine, and we'll get you some more publicity and so on and so forth. So, and I do want to talk to you about local charities getting involved because I've got one that I'm on their board. So that's also a distinct thing that I want to talk to you about.
Perfect, Pete. Appreciate it. Thanks to all you who are listening. And remember to go to ticketsforcharity.com for your next ticket need, because it is the ticket to Luckyville.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate it. And enjoy your meeting with the Boston guys.
Thanks. I'll have to speak with this accent like I'm a Jack a Kennedy. You have to talk like that.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jay. And we've been talking to Jay Whitehead, CEO of Tickets for Charity. A very interesting concept, and one that it seems as though he's going to be spreading it all over the all over the world, all over the United States, certainly, and possibly in Europe and so on and so forth, as he mentioned in his conversation with us. So whenever you're looking for seats, you're looking for going to various events and venues, think about tickets for charity. Ticketsforcharity.com is where it can be, where they can be reached. And thanks again for listening to the Boomer the Babe Show. We're going to get out of here right now. We're going to call it quits for the day. We've got a heavy afternoon ahead of us, so we're going to be going off and doing some client work and getting ready for the weekend. Actually, we're looking forward to having some enjoyable weekend time. So I hope you're looking forward to weekend time as well. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk again soon on the Boomer the Babe Show. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.